This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, a classic scholar. Victor writes of the current events in the 21st century and the politics. However, he is trained to write of the current events in Greece and Rome 2,500 years ago, and politics. So I take us to an interview that he had recently, a conversation about his education as a classic scholar. Victor, a very good evening to you. You grew up on a farm in the wonderful breadbasket of the solar system. That would be the San Joaquin Valley. And you had an opportunity to learn classics. How did you first discover that you had an aptitude for classics before you went to UC Santa Cruz? What did you do in high school about the classics? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Almost nothing. I mean, there was no Latin where I went to a rural school, and it was a very impoverished area. I grew up mostly with Mexican-American kids, and then I only went to UC Santa Cruz because it had just opened, and my father took a compass and found that it was very close to, like, 160 miles, and we could all three, I had two brothers, and one was there, we could all three go there and save money if we lived off campus together. But then when I took a Western Civilization class, I had a very gifted classics professor from Yale, and John Lynch. And he had was forming a new classics program at this new university. And they were all Ivy League trained, young, enthusiastic classicists. And he said to me at the end of my first year, you write well and you're good in these translation classes, but you don't know any languages. And I said, well, I'm too old. I just turned 18. And he said, well, you can go to Yale for summer school. It's all graduate students in their 20s and 30s, but you'll be okay. So it was a miserable summer in New Haven, but I did learn Greek very quickly. And then I came back and took Latin. And then I had taken advanced placement courses, so I had no core requirements. And then for the next 2 years, I took nothing, literally nothing, but Greek and Latin language. And then I went to Greece on a scholarship at the College Year in Athens program. And then he said to me, well, you did what I told you, so where do you want to go to graduate school? And I said, you know, California. And he was very instrumental along with the Santa Cruz faculty and ensuring I could go to Stanford University. And at that time, if you got in, everything was free. So that was a big selling point for me. And then I was a graduate student for 3 years there and went to Greece again to live at the American School of Classical Studies and I wrote my thesis. But graduate school was a little bit different than undergraduate. It was very specialized and philological, where language, not so broad. But it really, I resented it at the time that the seminars, the Greek composition, the Latin composition, grammar, manuscripts, but metrics, et cetera. But when I look back at it, it really allowed me to learn Latin and Greek very well. It helped.
So let me recover now. At 18, you had not had either Greek or Latin. And
no.
You were encouraged to start your study at 18. And between 18 and 20, you learned enough to be able to go to graduate school in both these languages. Is that correct?
I did. Yeah, I did it in about 2.5 years. But, I mean, I've always been prone to, I don't want to say manic bouts of manic depression or whatever, but I really went overboard. So I was in that period between 72 and 74, I would say I studied 16, 17 hours a day, and I got mononucleosis. It was just very different than growing up in a healthy lifestyle on a farm. I was in kind of seedy rooms and studying in New Haven, and I had a very unheated, very cold room in Athens. And it was just study. And so by the time I got to Stanford at 21, I think I was philologically prepared as well as the kids that went to prep school, but I had missed out on the undergraduate experience, and I had just overdone it. And then I overdid it again because it was very competitive for the next 4 years. And when I mean competitive, I mean for the PhD exams, you took Greek 3 hours in Greek literature, Roman literature each, Greek history, Roman history, 12 seminars, Greek composition, the ability to write in Greek and write in Latin, and then a 3-hour sight translation of Greek language, 3-hour sight translation of Latin language, and then a reading examination in both French and German. And the seminars were not easy. There were things like the manuscript tradition of Aeschylus or the use of the optative and subjunctive moods in Greek historians or the sources for Tacitus's annals, stuff like that, that it's hard to know how they were applicable to broad. But then I had grown up on a farm, so I had some knowledge, and I had a very unique thesis advisor, Michael Jameson. And he was getting interested in ancient Greek agriculture, but he is an urban man in his late 50s. So he saw something there that he said, you know, you have the philological skills and you grew up on a farm, so you have practical knowledge. So let me have you focus in agrarianism in the ancient world and military stuff. So that helped me because I could draw on something I knew, whereas everybody else was doing mostly philological work.
So he shaped you for the politics of it. I want to go to the moments you spent in Athens. You were there 73, 74, you've told me.
Yes.
Did being in Athens, surrounded by the ruins of a 2,500-year-old civilization, did that in any fashion inspire you, encourage you, puzzle you? Was it a mystery?
Well, I just love Greece because it had the exact same climate as where I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley, Mediterranean climate. And I love to hike, and I love farming. And I was researching, even as an undergraduate, ancient battlefields. So I would get up in the morning and take a bus with a map and some ancient texts and go to the battlefield of Chaeronea, take buses out there, or go to Leuctra, or go to Delium. And then it was a very good undergraduate program, and I got very good instruction there as well. There was a very volatile political situation as the dictatorship changed hands, and then it went into a full-fledged democratic revolution and the Cypriot War. My parents were scared. There were no cell phones, so you could only get a telegram. But I loved it. And as a graduate student, I was lucky to be taught by Eugene Vanderpool. He was kind of a legendary topographer that had been there in World War II, and he knew every inch of Attica, for example. So about 20 of us every Saturday or Sunday would walk. I mean, one weekend we walked almost from Athens to Thebes, 50 miles. But he was just, so topography was very interesting. And by that, I mean, if you were one day, he would say, let's go to see where Hesiod wrote the Works and Days up to Askra. And we'd hike all the way over. There wasn't much there, but you could see where the Works and Days were actually composed. So it was literary, historical, et cetera. It was very exciting. We would find, you know, ancient inscriptions that were not known before. It was like a part treasure hunt and part intellectual odyssey.
I do not have the Greek and Latin, and in my seniority, I regret it profoundly, and which is why I've always enjoyed talking to you, because you are a demonstration that the Greek and Latin and those civilizations are a foundation for talking about our civilization. And that's a generality on my part. Is it accurate, Victor? Does Rome help you today?
It does, because all the foundations of Western learning subsequent, and by that I mean philosophy, history, language, science, you always say, how did this discipline form and what were the bases? And then you inevitably go back to Thucydides, Herodotus for history, or Homer, Hesiod for literature or tragedy, or Aristotle and Plato, and it really gives you an idea. It's like, you can't really build a house of knowledge unless you have a good foundation, or it topples. And that was one good thing. And then the philological method was something else. I hated it at the time, John, but it was an exact precision. And I've always looked at words because of that. And I mean, but if I was giving a report on the Battle of Leuctra to a graduate seminar, an Austrian professor, he would say, stop, you said the wing, you said the left wing of the Greek army. What is the word for wing in the text? And I'd say keros. And he said, now you said general. How do you know he was a general? What was the term they used? What did Xenophon write? And I said strategos. Where else does that appear in this context? So it was constant grilling you that you don't use words indiscriminately, but they have to have precise meanings,
right.
And references. And that helped me to write outside of the field of classics.
Victor Davis Hanson is a classics scholar. He is also the Hoover Institution Fellow. I speak with routinely about politics in the 21st century based on Victor Wandering in Athens in 1973-74. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.